right, you're welcome in. It's WEEI Afternoons. Christian Arkin, Andy Hart, you at 617-779-7937. How we doing today, Andy? The day after a sports equinox. How we doing?
I'm great.
Yeah?
Yeah, I didn't know you were done with the sentence.
No.
No, you were like, you felt like you had a little momentum there, and you just kind of stopped.
No, there's no momentum.
It was Tommy Curran-esque.
No, it was not. Don't insult me.
It was like,
me
is he way. Done? Is he not done? I don't know.
I said, how are you doing on this day after the sports equinox?
I am tremendous.
And you didn't answer it. So
I am tremendous. I have energy. I have effort, and I have attitude.
Well, good for you. That was all you can say about the Boston Celtics last night as well. You just heard the final call there from Drew Carter and our own Brian Scalabrine, who we're going to talk to tomorrow. Today, we'll be joined by Ross Tucker at 2:30. Looking forward to that, getting his take on the Patriots and their second win of the year, and a pretty interesting weekend as well in the NFL to get to with him. That's coming your way in about 20 minutes, but let's go ahead and start with what I was mostly focused on last night. I don't know about you. There was all this stuff going on. You had the Celtics. You had the World Series. You had Monday Night Football. You had various hockey games, if you wanted to. The Panthers were playing, and then not the Bruins. They're playing tonight. But that was all going on at the same time, hence Sports Equinox. What was your main channel on?
So I started with the Celtics. Then I went over to the NFL, and then I went back to the Celtics.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of bouncing between the two. I saw Peyton Pritchard starting to hit the threes. I think he had five early when I was watching. And they were in a little bit of a dogfight, which made me think, was this one of those games? Remember how Jaylen Brown said when we play the crappy teams, we just let like Peyton Pritchard score?
Yes.
All I could think of is, wait, do they treat the Bucks like a crappy team now and they decided Peyton Pritchard's going to have a game tonight?
I mean, it may be. Also, Pritchard was launching from... He was, you remember the Rock and Jock games on MTV back in the day? How they had the 4-point, the three, like, distance shot? He was shooting 4-pointers.
Oh, yeah. Globetrotter stuff.
Rock and Jock 4-pointers and hitting them without any conscience at all. And they'd come out on him and he'd still hit them. And it was just, you knew right away, you were like, all right, it looks like Pritchard's hot here. There was other guy, Derek White was hitting threes. Other guys were hitting threes. Jason Tatum was not having a good game, which we'll circle back to here in a second. But Peyton Pritchard certainly made up for it coming off the bench, given nearly 28 points he had off the bench, just shooting the lights out. And really, I think putting the East on notice, putting the Milwaukee Bucks on notice. That first game against the Knicks, I think that was an attention getter in the sense that they came out bombing, they raised the banner, they hit all these threes. This game against the Bucks here, it was not an easy game.
No.
They were not leading the entire way. They didn't have a big 20-point lead in the first quarter. They were trailing most of that game.
Yep.
And Peyton Pritchard was just too much for them. Jaylen Brown was just too much for them. And even with Giannis and Dame both had 30 points and, you know, good secondary stats, it didn't matter. These Celtics are just overwhelming. They're an overwhelming team.
Well, when you have all your starters in double digits and when you have, oh, Tatum's not going to shoot well, Peyton Pritchard will. And that leads me to a Peyton Pritchard question.
Okay.
Can he go down the road? And there's going to be a little racial tint to this that's not intended.
Okay.
But he can't. You like that?
I like that that's the preface, yes.
I just want to let you know, can he go down
the road of time.
Racially questionable right now, and here it is.
Can he go down the road of a Julian Edelman or a Brad Marchand or one of these guys that we've seen in Boston that starts out as
a
white little guy who everybody loves, they're scrappy, they're fighters, but you're not really sure how good they really are, what their role's going to be, and then all of a sudden you decide, oh, wait, he's not just, because Peyton Pritchard talked about this last night. He thinks people root for him because he's kind of the everyman. He's not that big. He's whatever. Can he go down that road of developing from change of pace guy, end of game guy, bad team, we'll let him score a bunch of points guy, to what I said when the season started, legit sixth man of the year candidate, or what Drew Holiday said last night, he'd probably start on most teams.
I think he would start on most teams.
So he's a legit good player.
I think he might be on, not most teams, but on a lot of teams, the central offensive player on a lot. You know what I mean? Like, I think that there's some teams where he could be, maybe not the central guy, because most teams already sort of have a hierarchy established, but he could be a one or, if not a one, a two. You know, he could be a two on a decent to bad team.
Because I'm
absolutely, I think he could.
You know, we get way ahead of ourselves, and I don't want to go down this road, but everybody's talked about how ownership change and second apron, you can't keep the team together long term. Is he a guy that could see an elevated role as a value-based player in the future Celtics down the road? Because I do think everybody is starting to realize, maybe even he's realizing it, like, hey, maybe I should be making more money with a bigger role somewhere else. But he's here.
Mm-hmm.
He's playing his role here for the Boston Celtics.
He signed here through 2028.
Right.
and he's making about $7 million, $7.25 million, $7.75 million, then $8.3 million in the last year.
That's good money for most, but which in the NBA, it's pittance.
That'll take him up to age 30, and you're right. That's not very much. It's $30 million guaranteed over the next 4 years. That is longer, certainly, than it's longer than Drew Holiday, whose fourth year there is a player option for, but he's signed for 3 years at 30, 32, and 34. Derek White is signed through 2029 with a player option at the end, so he's actually signed potentially 1 year longer than Peyton Pritchard. Those are the two guys blocking him right now. And I guess it really just comes down to how they progress into their, in Derek White's case, early 30s.
Yep.
And for someone like Drew Holiday, is mid-30s, because they're going to be here until they're past their prime, let's put it that way. And Pritchard's going to be playing right into it. He's probably in it right now, for being honest. He's 26 or 25, whatever he is. So, like, that's a question that they're going to have to answer. I don't know if they're going to want to answer it very quickly. I mean, I think right now you maximize what you have here with Holiday and White in that backcourt. But eventually, you know, log jams somehow end up clearing themselves up most of the time. You know what I mean?
Like, absolutely.
Through some way or another, you'll figure it out. Either someone's unhappy or a big trade offer gets made and they can't say no. Like, stuff like that. We'll see. But I think right now, it's kind of an embarrassment of riches at that guard position.
No question. And I know Doc said, he said something about, like, I circled Pritchard too on something and was like, this guy's going to cost us. And he did. And he had a great night shooting the ball when they needed a little pick me up there. And I don't know. There was a texter that said 978 says he could absolutely average close to 30 points a game if he was on a different team. I don't know if he averages 30 points a game. That seems a little
Like a lot, especially if the defense is centered around stopping him.
Like, that's like an MVP type of season.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to pump the brakes on
Allen
that
Iverson
talk.
Would do that, you know?
But like, I think he would Julius absolutely Alexander. Score 20-something if he were on another team. And then where he goes in that range, I don't know. But you're right. When the defense is on him, you know, but he can flat out shoot. And he's got good handle. Hmm. Like, he kind of started out, if you remember, his role was sort of Bob Cousy-esque. He would always just go to dribble around in the paint, dribble through, back out, kick out, under the rim. And now he's developed into kind of a spark for this team. And not just against the bad teams, Jaylen Brown. Like, a spark against good teams, a spark in the playoffs, a gym rat. He's got an aura. He's got a likability that fans are drawn to.
Out there shooting with the kids down in the Seaport. You see
yes,
that?
I did.
Yeah.
With his, and he was like proud that he made a bucket too, which based on the video I saw was a lucky bucket. It hit like front rim, back, and then went in. I was
Shooter's touch.
Tough rims there. No, it was hard rims.
It looked like a double rim.
I think it might have.
That looked like a double rim, and it still rolled in. So, I mean, you know, that's a shooter's touch, I would say, is what you call that.
And then he said the kid was pretty good.
Pritchard, 10 of 14, 8 of 12 from three-point range, 28 points off the bench. He was the only player off the bench to score any points other than Jordan Walsh, who I think had one dunk, and that was it. But 30 points off the bench, 28 of them from one guy, is certainly something you need against a tough Milwaukee Bucks team, who I think is still going to be good this year. I think they're going to have a good season. They're on a bad streak right now. They lost to Brooklyn two nights ago, and this was supposed to be a get-right bounce-back game for them. And I thought, in some ways, it kind of was. Lillard, it was getting to the free throw line a lot. I thought Giannis had a pretty good game. He missed some shots, but he had a double-double, and he had some assists. He turned the ball over. But in general, I thought that was a good Giannis game, except for when Derek White rejected him in the first quarter, which that was beautiful.
Aren't you the one telling me if you bet the Derek White block, you always win?
Yeah. If you bet over a block for Derek White, or even over a block and a half, you'll almost always hit that with Derek White. It's just, and that was something last year. It's happening this year, too, and three-pointers, too. Usually you go, like, over 2.5 threes with Derek White. You'll probably hit that, too. Over blocks, over three-pointers. Write that down, everybody. A little free tip from your buddy Arkand. 617-779-7937, your phone number. Celtics now 4-0. Bucks now 1-3. We will talk later on in the show about any possible teams in the East that can actually challenge this team. Right now, it doesn't look like it. The Knicks and the Bucks both getting beat handily, along with the Pistons. And who else did they play? What was the other game?
The Wizards?
Pistons and the Wizards, thank you very much, who are the bottom of the barrel, I would say, even though the Pistons gave them a game. Pistons gave them more of a game than the Knicks did, that's for sure.
Yep, absolutely. But then the Knicks bounced back. It's early. Because even, I found it funny that Giannis was still talking about the idea that the Celtics are a team that's been playing together for a while and we're not, we're still, and it's like, how long are you going to use that excuse for? Because that feels like an excuse now. Last year was one thing, you and Dame, and it went through its ebbs and flows over the course of the season, but how long do they get to use that excuse before you just say, maybe it didn't work as well as everybody thought it would work on paper?
Yeah, looks like it. By the way, there's been a trade in the NFL.
Ooh, what do we got? Breaking news, Sounder?
The Ravens, it's not involving the Patriots, so I'd say probably not.
City so.
The Ravens are trading Panthers wide receiver Deontay Johnson, are trading for him, I should say.
I was like, that they're not allowed
to decide
that.
They don't have him. They are trading for Panthers wide receiver Deontay Johnson, who was also a Pittsburgh Steeler before that, right?
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
It's a pick swap between the teams. Baltimore's fifth for Carolina's sixth rounder this year, so they're basically getting him for free.
Well, so Adam Schefter was right.
Adam Schefter, when he kept saying Panthers, 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 he knew they were going to trade receivers. I know some Patriots fans were wondering if Johnson would be a target for the Patriots. And the Ravens, if you recall, before Devontae Adams got traded to the Jets, he did that whole Edgar Allan Poe thing. So some people thought he was going to the
Baltimore,
Ravens.
Yeah.
And this is in reaction to, in some way, D-Hop going to the Chiefs. So kind of the contenders and pretenders and teams are starting to solidify where they sit and try to improve their chances.
I'll tell you what this should be a reaction to is that you're in the division with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And those Steelers are no joke, man. They're a good team. I know that was the Giants last night, and the Giants kind of suck. But the Steelers are 6-2, and they've been doing it with a mix of Justin Fields and Russell Wilson this year. That is not something I take lightly. I know they lost. I think they lost to the Colts, and the Cowboys were their two losses. But either way, they have a better record than Baltimore, who has some embarrassing losses this year. They lost to the Ravens. They lost to who they just lose to recently. They had another bad loss recently. But this is sort of what I'm talking. Cleveland. They just lost to Cleveland. So like you've got a couple of bad ones there on your resume. The Steelers don't really. And this is a defense that I think is just smothering. I mean, they get out there and they make it very, very hard for these other teams. They're good at forcing turnovers. And if I'm the Ravens, I'm looking at them and going, we got to catch this team. We got to catch them before they run away with this division.
And they are getting better, seemingly. Yeah. Russell Wilson is throwing the ball well.
He looks good.
He threw a pass last night down the sideline that was like just a perfect throw. George Pickens, I think, is starting to get the attention he probably deserves.
He is awesome.
An absolute elite catcher of the football.
It's kind of a nutcase, but he's awesome.
But if you're a quarterback, just throw it to him. He goes up and gets it. We don't have to get into my fighting with the refs on the non-touchdown last night where I learned that 1 foot twice does not equal 2 feet, not like a knee.
I also did not know that. I thought that counted, but I guess
that was stupid. That was stupid. I'm sorry. I always use the kindergartner rule. That's a catch. That's a catch. You need to fix your rules. And people were like giving me a hard time. Oh, you didn't know that, you idiot. No, because that should be a catch. I've never really seen, and I still don't know exactly how it happened in terms of physics and logic, how 1 foot went down twice and the other one just kind of hovered in the air and never actually went down. But that was a ridiculous non-touchdown play. But Najee Harris is playing better of late than he probably has at any point in his career in Pittsburgh. I still doubt them. I still doubt the quarterback position if they get into big boy matchups with like Lamar Jackson's Ravens, Patrick Mahomes' Chiefs. If they're in that world, I'm going to question the quarterback. But they are a Mike Tomlin. You got to give him credit. Almost every year, they're better than you think they should be. They're better than they're supposed to be. And certainly their defense, when you have T.J. Watt, it's a nice foundational piece to start a good defense.
Yeah, it really does. And by the way, the rest of their schedule's really tough. They got the Commanders next, Ravens, Browns, Bengals, Browns, Eagles, Ravens, Chiefs, Bengals to close things out.
Okay.
That's a tough end to it.
If they get to the playoffs, their mettle will have been proven and tested.
Absolutely. And they have wins over Atlanta, who's good this year, the Broncos, who have a winning record, and the Chargers, who have the only team with a better defense than they have in the AFC. So there you go. I mean, they have quality wins on the schedule already, and they're in the midst of another three-game win streak. And if I'm Baltimore, I'm looking at that and saying, yeah, we gotta load back up here. We gotta get back with these guys because they're more talented than the Steelers, I think. I think Baltimore, they have the MVP of the league. They have an MVP quarterback.
And the potential offensive player of the year in Derek
Henry. And they have a pretty good defense,
Zay
too.
Flowers, any game can look like a star on the field. That will only help him to get Johnson there. No, they're absolute. I think the Ravens are a really good football team. But you're right. They have some losses that you kind of question. Why are you losing games that you probably shouldn't be? So, and that's a tough division.
Yes.
That's why the schedules
Very
are so hard
division,
in that
yes.
division, because when you play within your division, they're all dogfights for the most part.
Yep, and the Steelers haven't played a lot of the division games yet, so I think that's certainly part of it. But despite all that, they're 6-2, and there's not a lot of teams that are 6-2. It's just them, Buffalo, Houston, and the Chiefs are 7-0, and that's it. Those are the best teams in the AFC right now. So, yeah, I can see Baltimore wanting to climb back into that conversation. They certainly should want to. We'll get to more on Monday Night Football a little bit later on. How you feeling about the Yankees getting dog-walked in this World Series, Andy Hart?
Love it.
Love it. I'm loving it.
I mean, I came in obviously rooting
race.
For the Dodgers just because. I think we both came in just rooting for the idea that I saw the number that the top 10 contracts in this series are worth like $3 billion or something. It's some gross amount of money, but it's really not gross because they're in the World Series.
It's like Ohtani himself is one of those billions, probably.
Right,
yeah.
Right. But, you know, the idea that money gets you into the World Series and can win something, well, at least for the Dodgers.
This year it definitely has.
If you're the Yankees, it can get you swept potentially by spending a lot of money. But just Yankees fans, friends I have that are Yankees fans that are always sort of down and think it's going to end poorly and don't even acknowledge the highs of their team. Yes, it's been quite enjoyable, honestly. And Freddie Freeman, the whole Freddie Freeman story is kind of fun.
Yeah, good story for him. Yankees fans these days are unrecognizable. Have you noticed that? Like, Yankee fans in 2024, if you grew up, and I started watching that Netflix show, so I'm kind of back in 2004,
yeah,
the state of mind these days. But even if you go beyond that, really since 09, that was their last World Series. Since 09, these last 15 years, it seems like Yankee fans have been resigned to the idea that this team can't do anything right anymore.
Correct.
It's weird.
Oh, yeah.
It's weird seeing this. It's weird sort of watching that fan base go through this, because for my whole life, you know, up until my 20s, this was just, they were the top dog. They spent the most money. They got the best players. They won the most World Series. The Red Sox finally beat them, but they were still the Yankees. They don't look like the Yankees anymore. You know, they don't seem like the Yankees. They don't act like the Yankees.
Nope.
Their fans don't act that way anymore. It's very weird. It's weird to see how that's happened over time. I don't know if they look at the Red Sox that way either. If they look at the Red Sox and say, oh, you guys aren't like the Red Sox anymore. I think that's kind of true too. If you look at ownership, you look at the fan base, you look at sort of all of that. I can see that argument too, but it's more, to me, it's more of a stark contrast. The Yankees and their fans of today, even in the World Series. Here they are in the World Series. You see the empty seats last night?
Mm.
It was unbelievable. It's the Yankees in the World Series. They had a ton of empty seats. It was a lifeless crowd. Fat Joe comes out there and butchers his best songs.
Oh, it was horrible.
Before the thing even started. That was, one of those songs, the New York song, the Ja Rule song, I like that song a lot. I didn't like it after.
Well, when every other word is a swear, too, and you got to, like, try to ad-lib.
It was like when Jammin' 94.5 used to play, like, Can't See Me by Tupac, and the whole first verse was just blanked out, and you're like, what's this? What's going on here? That was basically Fat Joe last night. And that was sort of a good representation of what the Yankees and their team and this World Series appearance and all of that is for them right now. Nobody in that or in that building thought, oh, yeah, they're coming back tonight.
Nope.
It really was just this weird sense of doom and gloom, and it's like, you're the Yankees, but it doesn't matter in 2024.
They've lost their arrogance, and you compare them to the Red Sox, I would say Red Sox fans have lost some of their confidence and arrogance for good reason.
Agreed.
The Yankees have Aaron Judge and Stanton, and like they're still putting out a World Series caliber roster.
Soto, they just picked up this offseason.
Right, Soto.
Yeah.
You know, Garrett Cole, like they're spending boatloads of money. Maybe they're skeptical of how well the team is built, but they're still doing Yankees things business-wise, right? They're still all invested in trying to win. Sort of the old school way of we're just going to spend a boatload of money because we're the Yankees.
Yeah.
Whereas the Red Sox fans are like torn. But there is no doubt that the arrogance of I think Yankees fans are now sort of toxic. They're kind of over the top negative toward their team.
Mm.
Even when it's going well, they're sarcastic or they're waiting for the rug to be pulled out from underneath them. They're sort of pessimistic and cynical.
Karma, one might even say.
Maybe.
Karma
and you're right.
Retribution.
They're certainly not coming back. You mentioned 2004 in the documentary. I don't think you'll be doing a documentary about this World Series and
no,
the comeback.
But it would be funny if Aaron Boone just keeps showing them like 2004 highlights right. over and over to try and inspire him.
Against Dave Roberts, too.
It's true. Dave Roberts out there stealing the base. That would be some fine irony, but I somehow doubt it. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Everything on the table here on this Tuesday, the 29th of October, only a couple of days from Halloween. Ross Tucker's going to be joining us here in the next segment. Look forward to talking with him about the Patriots, their big win over the Jets, and an interesting weekend in Week 8 overall in the NFL. That's coming up next. First, here is who's doing trending. Brian Furzocco with What's Trending.
Now, here's What's Trending on WEEI.
The Boston Celtics took care of the Milwaukee Bucks last night by a score of 119-108 at the TD Garden. The Celtics got 28 points from Peyton Pritchard and 30 from Jaylen Brown. Celtics will be in Indiana tomorrow night to take on the Pacers in a rematch of last season's Eastern Conference Finals. Tip-off of that game is at 7 o'clock. The Boston Bruins return to the ice tonight as they host the Philadelphia Flyers. Puck drop is at 7 o'clock, and Jonas Corposalo will be in net for the Bruins as Jeremy Swayman gets the night off. Patriots were off today and will be back at practice tomorrow. In NFL news, Texans star receiver Stephon Diggs tore his ACL during Sunday's win over the Colts, meaning his season is over. And according to our guy Adam Schefter, the Colts have benched quarterback Anthony Richardson in favor of veteran Joe Flacco. Finally, the Baltimore Ravens traded for Carolina Panthers star receiver Deontay Johnson. Game 4 of the World Series is tonight, with the Dodgers holding a 3-0 series lead after last night's 4-2 win. First pitch from the Bronx will be at 8:08. Luis Gil will be on the bump for the Yankees, while the Dodgers have yet to announce a starter. I'm Brian Fusarco. That's what's trending on WEI and on WEI.com.
This isn't actually a good song.
Really?
It's a good beat, and Jadakiss has a great verse at
great
the end.
Great verse.
But it's a Ja Rule song, you know? Like, Ja Rule and Fat Joe's parts, I could take or leave, honestly. But the beat, if it was just the beat in Jadakiss, I'd say it was like an all-time great song.
It was like a song of the summer for whatever summer that was.
Yeah, and then they brought it back with that thing, with that verses. That was pretty good. What do you think, Andy?
That was awesome, yeah.
I know, yesterday he was all upset that we wouldn't include him in our hip-hop.
I was embarrassed by that yesterday, that I missed that Ghostface song. That was not a good, that was the bad look for me that yesterday.
I know, I totally thought you were going to get that.
What are you going to do? No, by question. The way, while we're on the subject, someone on the text line says that Fat Joe should have brought Big Pun out last night.
Slight problem.
Would have had to do grave robbing if you wanted to do that. A Big Pun no longer with us. If you wanted to do a hologram, Yankees, I don't know if they have enough money left over on the payroll to accommodate a Big Pun-sized hologram. That would be a large hologram if you wanted to do that.
Holla.
I think. Anyways, for more on that, anything to do with any of this, but to talk about the NFL and the Patriots' big win over the New York Jets on Sunday. Joining us on the line, Odyssey NFL insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise Mayo Game Day. Be delicious. Ross Tucker, the Patriots' big win over the Jets. They're going to ride this all the way to a postseason wild card berth, are they not?
Yeah, it's funny you say that. I actually just took out a second mortgage.
Nice. Very
and
good.
Just bet everything on the Patriots to win the Super Bowl.
Wow.
So
in 2024 or sometime in the future?
Get it done. I got to say, for having a disappointing season, obviously, this has to be a heck of a week for you guys, with the Yankees about to get swept and with the Patriots beating the Jets. Although, I will say, I saw several people online posting that we can't even tank right in reference to the Patriots. Listen, I get that Patriots fans want the highest draft pick possible. I understand that. But they're probably going to win 3 or 4 games. And if they're going to win 3 or 4 games, isn't that the one you wanted to win? I mean, isn't that the one against the Jets? I mean, it's incredibly embarrassing that the year that the Jets are all in and the Patriots are basically all out in terms of, you know, their personnel decisions with trading Judon and Uche and all that stuff, right? The fact that the Patriots still beat the Jets, like, I'm from Eastern Pennsylvania. I'm not even a little bit a Jets fan, and I'm embarrassed for them.
Do you think the Patriots were embarrassed? You know, do you believe in that idea that their coach calls them soft, so yeah, we're going to rally and show him or be resilient and win a game late? Or is that just like a nice narrative that fits the situation but might not have truth to it?
I think that different guys probably responded to it differently. And I think some guys probably took it to heart, watched the tape, said he's right, and wanted to do something about it. I think some guys probably thought he's full of it. He can't sell us out like that, and wanted to show him, and they went out and they did something about it. I guess either way, it kind of worked. Like, whether they took it to heart or they wanted to show Mayo he was wrong or take out their frustration, either way, obviously they played much better and gave themselves a chance to win. All right, right now, let's say there's 1 million people listening right now.
There is.
I mean, there's at least 1 million.
What percentage of the people, what's that, 10 million, whatever.
Yeah, at least.
What percentage of them are happy the Patriots won on Sunday, and what percentage are not happy because they want the team to lose?
So glad you asked. We actually polled the audience of between 1 and 10 million people that listen to us every day. And what'd they say, Andy?
71% were happy with the wins, F the Jets. They wanted the win and they did not want to lose to the Jets, and they don't care about the draft pick. So I can give you a number. 71% of fans were quite happy with the victory.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I question the other 29%.
Oh, wait. I'm in that group. I want the number one pick.
Yeah,
I wanted a loss.
You.
A lot of people
okay,
do.
Explain that to me, because you want to have the second or third pick instead of the fourth or fifth.
Yes.
Because then you have a better chance to get Travis Hunter, basically?
No. I actually want the number one pick so that when somebody falls into whoever the quarterback's going to be, Shedeur Sanders or Nussmeier or whoever's going to end up there, we'll trade, and now I can get three first-round picks. Dream scenario, so just go along with me. Reality doesn't always have to match it. Three first-round picks, then I trade down. I get Will Campbell. I get two other first-round picks to use at Capital, and we are worst to first city, baby.
Okay. I can see that.
Oh, thank you.
All right.
First of all,
you got
a lot of competition.
True.
To get the number one overall pick.
Yeah, those Carolina Panthers stink. The Jets,
I mean,
too.
The Panthers are bad, bro. I mean, they're bad. I thought you guys were bad. The Panthers are real bad.
Yeah.
I think the Panthers, you know what the Panthers are trying to do? They're trying to do a reverse Panthers. You know, gross. They're the one that just gave up all the picks last year to get Bryce Young, and it totally blew up in their face.
Yep.
And now they want to do to somebody else what Chicago did. Although, actually, they won't even do that. They'll draft a new quarterback, which is really sad.
It is sad, but it is what they're probably going to have to end up doing. Speaking of quarterbacks, Raj, what'd you think of the hit that knocked Drake May out of the game? And assuming he doesn't play this week, what do you think this does for his first season? I know he didn't start the year right away, but how do you sort of feel this is going, and what do you think this injury is going to mean about it?
Well, I think it's going very well. I've been super impressed. Anytime you're talking about head injuries, quarterbacks, young quarterbacks, it gets concerning. I would agree that I would like to think and hope that they would err on the side of caution. But I think we talked about this last week. To me, he's been really, I would say, the most positive aspect of the team. Now, other aspects of the team certainly played a lot better in this game, and Jacoby came in and did what he needed to do late to win the game. But I would still be very, very encouraged by May, and I'll be curious to see, you know, how he responds when he does come back. Because sometimes for guys, that's the first time. You know, I don't know. Was he diagnosed with concussions in college? I didn't even look that up.
I don't know if he
was. I don't believe so.
I don't think he has
a history. No.
Yeah, because I mean that's a different deal then, right?
Yep.
Like if it's your first, it's a different deal either way. If he's had multiple. Okay, well, that's a concern. If it's his first, then I'll be curious to see how he comes back from it.
Anthony Richardson did something that I have never seen in my years watching football at any level, and he obviously was benched today, maybe because of it, maybe because he just stinks and can't complete passes. But how stunned were you to see a quarterback, a supposed franchise quarterback, a top 10 pick, tap out of a football game?
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't possibly be more stunned. I'm 45 years old. I've never seen it before at any level of football. I can't ever remember seeing a quarterback like tap their helmet and come out. And I like go through stages giggling in my head about what the most ridiculous aspect of it is. Like, so number one, that he scrambles and gets yardage and that he's so out of breath that he thinks he needs to come out of the game. Like, that's number one. Like, how can your conditioning be that bad after Lamar Jackson does that every play?
Mm, yep.
Like, how can your conditioning be that bad? Then number two, the fact that he did it. He came out of the game because he was tired and needed a blow. Like, it's up to the coaches to identify that you just ran around all over the place and give you a safe play there you can catch your breath on the next play, or you can even tell them that rather than tapping it out. My personal favorite is that he thinks there's absolutely nothing wrong with it.
Right.
And he said after the game, yeah, I was just tired. I just needed to blow. Like, it's amazing. You go layer and layer. And I mean, you're talking about a guy who's putting up my favorite stat lines in the NFL every week. Like, you'll check in late second quarter, he'll be 2 for 14 for 87 yards and a touchdown. And it's like, how is that even possible? Like, how is that possible? It's unbelievable. I love Flacco, and Flacco gives them a better chance to win. And so I understand why the Colts are making the decision they are. But, like, the whole Anthony Richardson experiment was fascinating to me. I was kind of hoping it would continue because that was, like, pure enjoyment for me every week was to see his stat line throughout the game.
All right, we're talking to Odyssey NFL insider Ross Tucker, brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Ross, we know you got to go so quickly. The most disappointing team at the halfway point in the NFL and the most pleasant surprise in the NFL so far at the midway point here.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be impossible to name any team as most disappointing other than the Jets. I don't even know how you do that. By far, the Jets. I've never seen a team be this all in, make this many moves, and have it blow up in their face the way they have. I mean, it's incredible. I mean, guys, I want everybody to just picture this for a second. They're going to be playing a bunch of November and December games where they're just playing out the string with a first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback. Has this ever happened before where a team had a first and they're just like, I usually do the sixth game for CBS each week, okay? I'm going to be doing like Jets games, some Jets games. it's unbelievable. So I would say for sure the biggest disappointment is the Jets. Biggest surprise, I mean, I don't know, I told everybody, maybe even you guys before the year, that the Commanders were my surprise team.
Yep.
So maybe they're not my biggest surprise, but they're up there. I would say I definitely was not expecting the Broncos to be 5-3 at this point. I mean, think about that for a second. Nobody wanted Bo Nix other than the Broncos. I mean, the Falcons took Penix. We know about the top three. The Vikings took J.J. McCarthy. He was the sixth quarterback to go, and if the Broncos didn't take him, there's no telling when Bo Nix gets shot. Yet they're 5-3. Are you kidding me? That's probably the biggest surprise.
All right, great. Well, then we'll leave it right there. Ross Tucker, always a pleasure. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Sounds great. See you guys.
Thanks, Ross.
That's Odyssey NFL insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store. Add a little extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes all football season. Interesting stuff there for Mr. Tucker. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, the Boston Bruins back in action tonight. Seems like it's been a while as they coming off a win over the Toronto Maple Leafs. They got the Flyers tonight. Corposalo's in net. We'll get to that next.
WEEI, New England Sports Original. Now, more of Afternoons with Arcand and Hart on WEEI.
Marchand was hopping off the bench.
Better value the puck there.
Oh. Given away by Matthews. Pastrnak takes. Marchand shoots off the post. Scores his score! It's David Pastrnak again in overtime. Bruins victorious 4-3 over the Maple Leafs.
Ah, a little biscuit to get you ready to talk some hockey. I like it. Boston Bruins, not necessarily rolling, but they did end their losing streak with a win over the Toronto Maple Leafs. Young Brian, who's back there behind the glass reading Trending today, wrote this in our group email. He says, I couldn't get into it yesterday, but where would the Bruins and Monty be without the Leafs? In the last 12 years, it's giving you four playoff series wins and probably bailed out the jobs of Monty and Cassidy. It continued again Saturday night. I think Monty's seat is still red hot, but no one bails out the Bruins quite like the Leafs. You're right. I mean, there's no getting around it. The Maple Leafs have been right there when the Bruins need them every single time.
And I forgot to mention the goalies, too. Tuukka Rask, in his career with the Bruins, 10 playoff series wins. Three of them have been against the Leafs. And for Jeremy Swayman right now, his only playoff series win is against the Leafs.
That's true.
The Leafs just continuously bail out Bruins coaches, Bruins goalies, just the Bruins in general. They're the only team in hockey who are bigger losers than you.
Although the bailout's getting more difficult when you're going to overtime and not really playing that well, right? Like, wasn't a get-right game. It was...
No. And
get out of here alive game.
That last goal in regulation, that last Maple Leafs goal to put it in overtime, what were they doing? I mean, that was about that give and go. Matthews just dishes it to Marner, makes a beeline. There's nobody between him and Swayman on the entire sheet of ice. And then he gets right to him. He flicks it in. And you're just sitting there watching it going, do they know it's the end of the game and it's like they have a one-goal lead?
Right.
Like, are you aware of this? Like, this, at this point, I think it was an empty net at that point, right? I think it was. So the game was like 4 days ago. So, you know, here it is. But, like, that was – I was watching that, and I thought in the first period, the Bruins looked like they were shot out of a cannon. They outshot them, like, 10-5. Like, they were really – they were all over them. Didn't produce any goals. But I thought at the very least, okay, these guys are coming out flying. They're making a real effort. Even when that first goal happened, and it happened because there was too much traffic in front of the net there, I still felt okay. Pasternak scores on the power play. Brageau and Kostelec have those two goals within like a minute of each other, and you're just sort of watching it going, good, all right, this is going to be a nice, easy win over the Maple Leafs. And then at the very end of regulation, basically, they come back and do that, and it was just, ugh. Thank God they won that game in overtime, because that would have been a tough loss, and it was veering towards being a tough loss. But either way, Bruins beat the Maple Leafs. They improved to 4-4-1. They're 3-2-0 at home, and they resume tonight against the Philadelphia Flyers. Brad Marchand finally scored a goal, okay?
Yeah.
It was, and he also denied this whole report about him signing a 3-year extension. Did you see this over the weekend?
Yes.
It was people reporting it and saying, yeah, they're very close to a 3-year deal. He comes out and goes, I don't know about a 3-year deal. And I was surprised to hear that about a 3-year deal.
Here we go.
Weren't
again.
You? Were you surprised to hear a 3-year deal for him?
But then I was also surprised to not hear it come to fruition. It was almost reported like it was a done deal. Like
right.
It was and I don't know. I missed the midday. Did Scoops Keefe have any reports on this?
I don't know. I didn't hear him.
He's my source. He's who I trust.
Right, yes. And if he didn't say anything about it, then I'd imagine it's not true. If Scoops Keith doesn't have it, then
no.
It's not a real thing.
But, no, that was a huge... Because we had talked about Marchand needing to kind of get off the schneid and start to inject some life into the scoring. I think this whole thing, too, about the shots, wasn't it the Stars game? They came out pretty hot. They got some shots, and then they didn't do anything with it.
Yeah.
And it's like... Yeah, it's great you're getting shots, and I know you get about pucks on net and all these hockey cliches. I prefer pucks in back o net, behind goalie, in the goal. Like, scoring is a clear issue for this team. Defensively, you know, you mentioned the last regulation goal. There were goals in that game against the Stars where I thought they were always a step behind. And it's like you asked, do they know what's going on here? Do they know? Is it they don't know what they're doing, or they can't do what they should be doing? But I your guy, Swayman, I still say, not playing great, but I'm not sure he's the most of their problems. I think he's probably the least of their problems right now. The D-core is
fourth line's the least of their problems.
Well, yeah, the fourth line's the least.
The fourth line's the best.
Well, because they're not actually a problem. The, right. The list of problems, I think Swayman is a couple down the list. But to see Marchand, maybe that's something that jumpstarts him. Maybe the contract thing is something that jumpstarts him. Maybe that's an issue. Maybe like he's definitely a guy that can get motivation. And then we're going to talk about it every week until we have reason to not talk about it anymore, is the contract situation with Montgomery and the fact that, according to Brian, he's riding the Maple Leafs to his career successes. It's weird that he set a record for points in the regular season by just playing the Maple Leafs.
I know. That is pretty wild. This is also coming into this game.
Wait, can you – time out for that. He wants to respond.
No, I just – if they lose that game 7 last year after being up 3-1, that would be back-to-back years of them being up 3-1 in a playoff series, choking it away, having the home ice advantage.
Mm-hmm.
And blowing it back to, like, I think Montgomery's gone last year if they blew
and
that
you picked
series
him.
Lead.
You picked your foe. You wanted,
right. Good point.
You
right.
Decided.
You manipulated
so
it.
So if you manipulate
to play Tampa Bay.
You sure as hell need to win. Because if you don't, now you're an idiot.
Right. And I'd say the same thing for Cassidy in a different way. 2018, 2019. 2018, his only playoff series win was against Toronto. Then they lost in 5 to Tampa. 2019, they went on the cup run. But it all jump-started by playing Toronto that first round. Then they got Carolina and Columbus. They got a couple lambs to go to the Stanley Cup that year. But you just look back, you know, every time the Bruins have any success in the playoffs, it's usually against Toronto.
Usually Toronto's involved somehow in like the early in the first round. Like that's the launching pad, and then they go wherever they go after that. But there's not been a lot of success as of late, certainly not in the last 5 years. So I think there's definitely something to that, and it's been going on for a while now. And thank goodness for it too, because the Maple Leafs, listen, that's a talented team. They have a lot of talent on that team. They need some help on the blue line. They need some help in net for sure. But in terms of like your top forwards, your top six,
mm-hmm.
they're about as good as it gets, I'd say. I mean, in the NHL, I look at them and I say they're up there with the best teams in the league, with the Edmontons and the, you know, all these teams that have very strong forward play. They're right up there. And for some reason, the Bruins just always manage to kick their ass. It's great.
And then we were talking about last week when we were talking about the scuffling start that, well, you know, it you're not falling behind. Well, now you're starting to fall behind. You're right. 1 point out of last place in the Atlantic. The Panthers now have 15 points. They're atop the division. They're kind of hitting their stride or coming into their own. Yep. So that argument of like, Arcand, it's early. Don't worry about it.
Everybody's 500. Well, now not anymore. Yeah. Now you still are, but other teams aren't. Other teams are separating.
Settling in. And you don't appear to be. To me, they haven't given any indication of turning a corner. Like, and I guess maybe the Marchand goal can be something like that. But Korpisalo tonight, like, I don't know how I feel about that.
We got the corpse tonight. We got old Corpsey tonight. Fortunately, I should say, it's against the Philadelphia Flyers, who might be the worst team in the NHL. Yep. So you got that going for you at the very least. But yeah, with Korpisalo, who knows? That's a guy who I think is capable of giving a game away to anybody in the NHL. Any team in the league could feast their chops on Korpisalo for sure. So there you go. That's tonight. Bruins and the Flyers at TD Garden. If you have any thoughts on the Bruins and their little layoff here. And not super inspiring start. Jim Montgomery, to his credit, has gotten off to much better starts than this to start the year. This has been his worst start by far. It's been the Bruins' worst start by far in a long time. So hopefully they can get back up over 500 there tonight. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Bill Belichick back out there on the Manning cast. He also was with Pat McAfee yesterday. We have some clips for that. And we'll take a look at this week's edition of Bill Watch coming up next.